You've heard of good cop, bad cop? Rabbi Lorne was the good cop. You're familiar with the passage in Luke chapter 12. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Well, to whom anything is given, something is going to be asked. Something will be required. Our dear brother of blessed memory, Jan Moskowitz, whenever he would give a sermon or teach a Bible study, would always end it by saying, "So what? Big deal. What are the applications?" Well, my job this morning is to kind of drive home the point that we each have been gifted. We each have been given various talents, and something will be required of us. We need to give back. Because when God gives to us, it's not for our own sake alone. It's to be a blessing to others. I share with you the example of Bezalel and Aholiah from Exodus chapter 31. Then Adonai said to Moses, "See, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the Ark of the Testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent." These men were gifted by God. They employed their gifts. And you know, not everything is about art, and yet God gives men and women giftings and skills for the building up of something greater than ourselves. Yesterday I was thinking about Nehemiah and company, and all the different families, each having a part in the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, a wall is not, except for the New Jerusalem, a wall, generally speaking, is not a beautiful thing. But the wall of Jerusalem was truly a beautiful thing, because this is the city of God, and it was for the protection of the people in that city. So this morning, I want to talk to you about four responsibilities that you have. I'm the bad cop. Buckle your seatbelts. Your first responsibility, identify your gifting. Now, it could be art, and within the larger scope of art, it could be paint, it could be sculpture, it could be calligraphy, it could be jewelry, perhaps education or instruction. The art of education, the art of mentoring and teaching is something very precious. Perhaps you can be teaching a class, or perhaps you can be teaching people one-to-one. Perhaps God has given you a mind to write good curricula for the sake of others. Music is part of the arts. It could be instrumental. It could be vocal. It could be something original. It could be part of something that's an ensemble. Literature is part of art, and that would include prose, poetry. It could include fiction or nonfiction. Even journalism is an art, properly done. Oral interpretation is an art. It could be something live. It could be something recorded, interpreting the writings of others. Photography is an art. Architecture is an art. Creating mechanical devices that make other people's lives easier is a form of art. Marketing and creativity is an art form. Hospitality is truly an art form. Humor can be an art form. Good humor. Gardening and landscaping is a form of art. Now, of course, this is just a small list. This is hardly exhaustive. But the point is, everybody has been given one or more talents and abilities. Yours may not fall into the category of what we typically define as the arts, but your responsibility is to find out where your natural, God-given abilities lie. But that's just the first. And please don't fall into the trap of comparing your talents with those of other people. You'll save yourself and others a lot of grief and resentment if you'll just be content to identify your gifts, your abilities, and then work on developing them. In other words, mind your own art. Trust me, you'll be a lot happier for it. Number two, your second responsibility is to then hone, to refine your skill. And maybe you already know what it is. Maybe it's been clear to you for a long time, but maybe somewhere along the way you dropped the ball. So pick it up again and run with it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul nudged his young protege, Timothy, to, as he put it, kindle afresh the gift of God he had received when Paul commissioned him. It is all too easy for those gifts to wane and our skills to diminish simply through disuse. Some of you may remember Don Carey, the former safety and special teams player for the Detroit Lions. Some of you know him. He just retired from the NFL this year, and along with his wife Lakeisha, is already busy giving back to the community through a foundation they started called REACH. And the whole idea is to help inner city kids realize both academic achievement and ultimately career achievement. Really great couple, Don and LK. Well, Don wrote a book 2 years ago entitled, It's Not Because I'm Better Than You. By his own admission, Don recounted that there were college players who were bigger, faster, and more naturally talented than he. But many of them were passed over in the NFL draft, whereas he was chosen. The problem is that many of these extraordinarily talented athletes were content to rest on the laurels of their college greatness, their college careers, and they didn't make the effort in that transition time to improve their conditioning and their skills. So you see, it isn't always about how much ability you have, but how much determination you have to employ your gifts, to hone those gifts. Hosea chapter 10, the prophet said, "Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." So if you've got gifts and skills, abilities, you've identified them, if you've been letting them lie fallow, it's time to break up that fallow ground and begin honing those skills all over and glorify God through it. Number three, your third responsibility, assuming you've identified your giftings, you're honing and refining your giftings, your third responsibility is to produce something beneficial and or beautiful, and make sure that whatever it is you produce or whatever it is you do glorifies the God who invested you with that ability. Rabbi Paul gave these tandem exhortations to the believers in Colossae. He said, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And then he said in the same chapter, "Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." Twice he says, "Whatever you do." Faithfulness to the Lord doesn't usually occur in the spotlight. Faithfulness to the Lord usually occurs in the trenches. And it's unseen. Being faithful to be on time and put in an honest day's work falls into the category of avodah, worship, every bit as much as does the singing of songs or the giving of donations when you do it with the intent to please Adonai. So every aspect of your life can be an offering to him. Not everything we do is going to be artistic or visually impressive. In his first letter to the believers in Corinth, Rabbi Paul used the analogy of human anatomy to make the point that often the most important and wonderful functions are carried out by the less impressive members. Feet are decidedly unimpressive. But try living life without them. And Scripture doesn't say how lovely on the mountain are the mouths of those who bring the good news. The feet. Finally, your fourth responsibility is to encourage your brothers and sisters frequently to employ their gifts as well. I thank God for everybody that is in my life that at times have exhorted me to, shall I just say, get off my tuchus and do the things that I could be doing. Do more of it, do it better. Your responsibility is not just for yourself. Your responsibility is not just to identify, hone, and employ the gifts God has given you and the talents God has given you. Exhort one another. Encourage one another. Why wouldn't we do that anyway? We're a family. But, you know, sometimes, you know, one sibling resents another sibling because they think the other sibling got more talents or got more doting, whatever it is. We need to be careful not to be envious of one another's giftings. Really, encourage those around you to refine and produce beauty in everything they do. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about we, and it's about glorifying God as a community. As we do that, God will be glorified as we encourage each other, give each other that little nudge. God will be glorified. As we do these things, the world is paying attention. The world is watching. And I'm really glad for Shema putting on a festival of the arts so that people can come and see who we are, who we serve, what we believe. Well, let me finish with this, and this is really where I become the bad cop. Because I'm going to share with you the parable of the talents. Now, talents in that context was money, but you've been given talents. Yeshua said, a man going on a journey, he's saying that his return, Messiah's return, would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. We sometimes forget that. He didn't put on any one person's shoulders more than they were able. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. That's a convicting parable. Not everybody is a fiver or a twoer or a oneer. We're all unique. God has not created us with a cookie cutter, but we all have been invested with some giftings and talents. So again, it is your responsibility to identify that gift. It is your responsibility to hone and develop that gift. It is your responsibility to use that gift to produce something beautiful, useful, and God-honoring. And it is your responsibility to encourage others to develop and utilize their gifts to glorify God as well. To whom anything is given, something will be required. Amen.